This is Audible.
The Catcher in the Rye, A Reader's Guide to the J.D. Salinger Novel. Written by Robert Crayola. Narrated by Sean Lenhart. Introduction. Welcome to The Catcher in the Rye, A Reader's Guide to the J.D. Salinger Novel. This guide will add to your understanding of the book and get you thinking about its deeper dimensions. We will examine it from a variety of angles, and this will be beneficial whether you are totally new to the book or have already familiarized yourself with the text. The Catcher in the Rye has been a bestseller for over 60 years now. Something about it has touched a chord with readers, especially young people. We'll try to find out what its appeal is in this guide. Let's begin our study by looking at the author, J.D. Salinger. Author: Jerome David Salinger was born in New York City on January 1, 1919. He was raised Jewish, but would later learn that his mother wasn't actually Jewish. He published in school newspapers growing up and was socially active in numerous clubs. After high school, he began college at NYU, but soon dropped out. He tried to make it in the meatpacking industry, even going to Austria for the business, but he quickly returned just before the Nazis annexed Austria. He began college once more in Pennsylvania and again dropped out. He continued writing, however, and took a writing class at Columbia University. He had his first story professionally published in Story magazine in 1940. He would submit stories to the New Yorker and finally had Slight Rebellion Off Madison accepted, but because of the war references, it was not published until 1946. It featured the character of Holden Caulfield, later the narrator in The Catcher in the Rye. In 1942, Salinger was drafted and served active duty during several major battles. While in Europe, he arranged to meet Ernest Hemingway, whom he respected. Hemingway saw great promise in the young writer and encouraged him. Salinger continued to write and submit stories during the war, but he suffered a great deal of traumatic stress. When the war ended, he married a German woman and returned with her to the U.S. The marriage failed after 8 months, and she returned to Germany. Salinger tried to have a book of stories published at this time, but the deal fell through. He continued to write and publish, and with the publication in The New Yorker of A Perfect Day for Banana Fish, he secured a contract with the magazine that gave them first rights to publish his stories. He would release short works mainly through them for the remainder of his career. The story would mark the first appearance of the Glass family, and Salinger would use them in numerous other stories. About this time, he also took a strong interest in Zen Buddhism. It would be the first of many schools of thought to interest him. He would take his practices very seriously and often encourage or force others close to him to adhere to his systems. In an attempt to secure more money, Salinger sold the film rights of a story to Hollywood, and they turned it into My Foolish Heart. He hated the film and vowed to never have one of his works mutilated in that way again. In the late 40s, Salinger began work on his first novel, The Catcher in the Rye. It featured Holden Caulfield from his earlier story and was a semi-autobiographical tale of a disaffected youth. It would be published in 1951 to enormous success, earning critical acclaim, banned in some countries and schools, and still selling about 250,000 copies a year to this day. A second book followed in 1955, Nine Stories, collecting a variety of material. It was also successful. Salinger's growing fame was unwelcome, and he moved from New York to New Hampshire and began to live a more reclusive lifestyle, also publishing less. He married in 1955 and had two children before divorcing in 1967. He would publish his two final books in the early 1960s, Franny and Zoe, and Raise High the Roof Beam, Carpenters and Seymour, An Introduction. His final published work was a novella in 1965. Salinger's home life is reported as being regimented and peculiar. It's hard to say how accurate these descriptions are. They mainly come from writer Joyce Maynard, who had a 9-month relationship with Salinger in 1972 when she was 18 and he was 53, and his daughter Margaret Salinger. Scrutiny in the reclusive author didn't abate. His son would denounce the viewpoint told by Salinger's daughter in her memoir, leaving many questions unanswered. Salinger died on January 27, 2010, at age 91, and scrutiny and interest by fans continue to this day with the release of the documentary Salinger. Context. We should keep the book's era in mind when we read it. It seems to take place in the late 1940s when America was beginning to experience a new prosperity. People had returned from World War II and wanted a safe family life. The American dream of a home and steady work. Much of this will be lambasted in Holden Caulfield's narration. He can't stand the mindless conformity and stupidity he sees all around him. In a sense, his feelings will erupt in the 1960s, but he is a little too early. And he would probably find the 60s as easy to criticize as any era. The Elements of Literature. What kind of book is this? The Catcher in the Rye is an average-length novel. Structure. The book is divided into 26 chapters. 25 chapters are devoted to Holden's narration of events over a few days before Christmas. The last short chapter has Holden reflect on his story. Setting. Setting is the time and place that a story occurs. The time is the late 1940s. The book begins with Holden at a private high school in the fictional town of Eggerston, Pennsylvania. He will leave there after a few chapters, and the remainder will take place in New York City. Narration and POV. The narrator is Holden Caulfield, one of the most famous characters in fiction. He is 16 years old for the events in the novel. He is very disgruntled about almost everything and doesn't know what to do with himself. We might question the accuracy of much of his story. When a narrator cannot always be trusted to be 100% accurate, we call him or her an unreliable narrator. Although we can trust the general accuracy of events, Holden might not always relate the details completely right, softening things to make him look better and others look worse. Tense. The book is written by Holden a few months after the story's events, and is written in the past tense. Tone. Tone is how a book feels. Because Holden is bitter about many things in the book, the tone is very pessimistic. Rarely a page passes without Holden describing something as depressing. Plot. The story of The Catcher in the Rye concerns Holden Caulfield and how he spends a couple of days before Christmas. He is a teenager attending a private school in Pennsylvania, and he is kicked out. It is the latest in a series of schools to kick him out for underperformance. Rather than remain a few more days at the school, he decides to leave for New York, where his family lives, early, and stay in the cheap hotel. Over the next few days, he has a series of encounters with various people in all walks of life. His overall attitude is one of pessimism and depression, and the adventures he has only serve to make him feel worse. He almost loses his virginity to a prostitute, gets beat up by her pimp, goes to various bars trying to get drunk, and meets a few old friends. When his money runs out, he sneaks into his parents' home and borrows more cash from his younger sister, Phoebe. He decides he will hitchhike out west and start a new life for himself. However, when he meets his sister again to return her money, she convinces him not to run away. The book concludes with Holden recovering from a nervous breakdown in California, reflecting on the experience of those few days. Protagonist. The protagonist is the main character or person we have most sympathy with. In this book, that is the narrator, Holden Caulfield. Antagonist. The antagonist is what opposes the narrator, often in the form of a person or people. There isn't one antagonist in the book. Instead, Holden faces many people who are part of a society of phonies, as he views them, people who are not genuine with their feelings and behavior. Conflict. Conflict is the struggle a character goes through. Holden's conflict is a struggle to live an authentic life and not be crushed by the mindless conformity he sees all around him. climax. The climax is the moment of greatest tension in the story, the point when a character will not be the same again. It comes for Holden when he is preparing to abandon his family and life in the city and try to hitchhike out west and start a new life. It seems like he might do it, but he succumbs to the wishes of his sister instead. Resolution. The resolution is how the story unwinds after the climax has passed. Holden tells us he will stay in the city after all. He accedes to the wishes of his family. We jump ahead a few months to see him recuperating out west. We don't know exactly what his future will be like, but he seems to have recovered his balance a little. Book title. The title comes from Holden's misremembering of an old folk song called Coming Through the Rye, popularly published by poet Robert Burns. He imagines children playing in a field of rye near the edge of a cliff, and a catcher who would stand near the edge of the cliff and make sure children don't go over the edge. When Holden's sister Phoebe asks him what he'd like to be, he tells her, a catcher in the rye. Themes. Themes are what the author chooses to highlight through the use of story. Some of the themes in The Catcher in the Rye include the inauthentic quality of the world, especially the adult world of phonies, the feelings of being an outsider, how we put on different masks for different people and situations, the weight of responsibility placed on us. Characters. Holden Caulfield. Holden is the narrator and protagonist of the book. He is 16 years old for most of the story, over 6 feet tall and thin. He is a depressed and cynical person who dislikes a great deal of the world. We'll follow him over a few days as he leaves his private school and explores different parts of the city and tries to find a real connection to people. D.B. Caulfield. D.B. is Holden's older brother. He works and lives in Hollywood as a writer. Holden thinks he has sold out to Hollywood. When Holden is recuperating in California at the end of the book, D.B. will visit him. Holden's parents. Holden's parents aren't shown directly interacting with Holden. We know his father is a corporate lawyer who makes a great deal of money. Holden worries about their reaction when they'll hear that he was kicked out of another school. They return from a party when Holden sneaks into their apartment later in the book. Phoebe Caulfield. Phoebe is Holden's younger sister and the person he connects most closely with. She is smart, opinionated, and good at reading through Holden's lies. Her anger with Holden keeps him from hitchhiking out west. Allie. Allie is Holden's dead younger brother. Allie died of leukemia when he was only 11. Holden prays to him when he feels depressed or scared. Mr. Spencer. Before Holden leaves the Pensy Prep School to return to New York, he goes to speak with his history teacher, Mr. Spencer. He is an old man who lectures Holden. He reads Holden's essay test answer to him. Holden wishes he hadn't come to see him. Ward Stradlater. Stradlater is Holden's roommate at Pensy Prep. He is big, conceited, handsome, and rich. Holden calls him a moron repeatedly, and Stradlater punches him in the face. Robert Ackley. Ackley is in the neighboring room of Holden at Pensy Prep. He is an 18-year-old senior, very tall, has bad teeth, and poor social skills. Holden doesn't really like him, but he goes to see Ackley after being punched in the face by Stradlater. Mal Brossard. Brossard is a friend of Holden's at Pensy Prep. He goes with Holden and Ackley downtown on a snowy day before Holden leaves the school. Sally Hayes. Sally is a girl Holden has dated. He calls her up when he returns to New York and has a date with her. He imagines going away with her and enjoying a quiet life in the woods. Later, she'll get on his nerves and he'll hurt her feelings. Jane Gallagher. Holden knew Jane before the events of the novel, and he wants to get in touch with her, but he never does during the course of the book. Stradlater had a date with her, and Holden worries how far she went with him. He views Jane with a sense of nostalgia, and esteems her higher than most characters in the book. Mrs. Morrow. Mrs. Morrow is the mother of a student Holden knows at Pensy Prep. He meets her on the train to New York and finds her very nice and attractive. He tells her all kinds of lies about himself and her son, Ernest. Faith Cavendish. Faith is a woman Holden phones when he arrives in New York and tries to meet for a drink. He obtained her number from another boy he knew, and Faith is reputed to have a reputation for looseness. She is unable to meet him, however. Ernie. A pretentious piano player Holden goes to see at a club he used to frequent with his brother D.B. Maurice. An elevator operator who convinces Holden to take a prostitute. They agree on $5 as the charge, but the girl he sends says the price is $10. Maurice comes to Holden's room and roughs him up to get the money. Sonny. The prostitute Maurice sends to Holden's room. She is young and irritates Holden. He decides he can't go through with having sex with her. She returns with Maurice to collect $5 more from Holden. Lillian Simmons. Lillian is an old girlfriend of Holden's brother D.B. that he runs into at Ernie's club. She is with a Navy guy, and Holden excuses himself to get away from her. Carl Luce. Carl is a student Holden knew from a previous school. He is an older boy and seems sophisticated to Holden. They meet for a drink, and Holden asks him persistent questions about his sex life. Mr. Antolini. Antolini is a former teacher of Holden's who has maintained contact with the Caulfield family. He is a young man and married to an older woman. He allows Holden to sleep on his couch. He lectures Holden and then disturbs him very much by petting or patting his head as he sleeps. Holden isn't sure if Antolini is making a pass at him. Chapter Summaries and Commentary. Chapter 1. The book begins with a somewhat unusual narrator, Holden Caulfield. He tells us right away that he doesn't want to go into the full details of his life, all that David Copperfield kind of crap, as he puts it, referring to Charles Dickens' character. He tells us that he's only going to talk about the madman stuff that happened to me around last Christmas. We won't find out what he means by madman until later. But essentially, Holden is kicked out of his private high school and has a nervous breakdown by the end of the book. He's narrating the story from out in California, where he seems to be at some kind of sanitarium to relax and restore his mental health. But the book begins in Eggerston, Pennsylvania, where Holden attends a private school called Pensy Prep. It's a Saturday just before Christmas, and there is a big football game that everybody is at. We see in Holden's descriptions that he complains about almost everything. He's a bitter, angry young man about most of the world, and that's part of why a lot of young people have latched onto the book so strongly. They see in Holden's attitude something they can really relate to. Holden says that he just got back from New York with the fencing team, and that he's going to speak with Mr. Spencer, his history teacher, who requested Holden see him before he left. He arrives at the house and sees that Mr. and Mrs. Spencer are very old. She is a little hard of hearing and sends Holden in to speak with Mr. Spencer. Chapter 2. Holden goes into the house and speaks with Mr. Spencer, his history teacher, and he is immediately depressed and regrets the visit. Becoming immediately depressed by something he sees or hears is a common occurrence for Holden, and we'll see it happen many times in the book. Concerning Mr. Spencer, Holden is depressed by the man's old age and decrepit state, plus the lecture he gives Holden. We learn some more about Holden. He says he's about 6 foot, 2.5 inches tall, 16 years old at the time of the story, and that he's been kicked out or quit several other schools. The general reason seems to be that Holden doesn't apply himself to his work. He doesn't care about school, and that he's not too worried about his future because his family is pretty well off. Mr. Spencer reads some of Holden's weak essay to him, and that really turns Holden against the old man. He calls it a dirty trick to do that to him. He cautions Holden some more about his future, and then Holden tells him he has to leave to go to the gym. He thinks Mr. Spencer yells good luck to him as he leaves, and Holden really doesn't like this. We see in this chapter that Holden vacillates between emotions quickly. He's defensive and easy to offend, and he retreats when things don't go how he wants them to. He also describes many people in the book as phonies. He is searching for more authenticity in life and not finding it. On the other hand, we're going to see Holden put on several different fronts throughout the book, showing that he can be phony in his own way as well. He often has a double standard for himself and the world. Chapter 3. Holden tells us that he's a terrific liar, and we'll see that in the book, because he doesn't actually have to go to the gym. He just said that to get away from Mr. Spencer. Instead, he goes back to his dorm room. He lives in a wing of the building named after a man named Ossenberger, who made his fortune in undertaking. Holden says he came to speak at their school, and a boy farted loudly during his speech. Holden found it amusing because he thinks Ossenberger was full of himself. Holden gets back to his room that he shares with a boy named Stradlater, who is gone. Most of the dorm is empty because everyone's at the football game. Holden starts rereading Isaac Dinesen's Out of Africa and says he likes a book that makes you want to chat with the author. He is interrupted in his reading when Robert Ackley, a boy in the neighboring room, pokes his nose in. Ackley is described by Holden as tall and having unclean teeth. He tries to make it clear to Ackley he wants to be left alone, but Ackley won't leave. Finally, Holden puts his book down and starts fooling around, acting blind underneath the red hat he bought in New York that day. They talk a few minutes more, generally complaining about things and each other, until Holden's roommate Stradlater comes in. Ackley doesn't like Stradlater and leaves. Stradlater asks to borrow Holden's jacket and goes for a shave. This is the first time we've seen Holden interact with his peers. They behave somewhat like typical teenage boys, but Holden seems to have an underlying recognition that he's leaving soon and will probably never see these boys again. Even though he dislikes a lot about each of them, he's capable of recognizing some good things about them. But like before, he will vacillate between emotions and easily be provoked to annoyance. Chapter 4. Bored, Holden talks with Stradlater in the bathroom while the other boy shaves. We can see from his description that Holden both dislikes Stradlater and his egotism and true nature, but also recognizes that other people find him attractive. Stradlater is getting ready for a date and asks Holden to do his homework for him, writing a short essay. Holden hints that he might do it. He fools around while Stradlater shaves, dancing and role-playing like he's in a movie. Then he starts wrestling with Stradlater, annoying his roommate as he tries to look sharp for his date. Holden asks who the date is with, and Stradlater says that she knows Holden, and that her name is Jean Gallagher. Holden is shocked and corrects Stradlater. Her name is actually Jane Gallagher. Holden knows Jane from last summer when they were neighbors and played checkers together. He reminisces and clearly has fond memories and is attracted to Jane. He also resents that Stradlater seems to not even know her name and is only looking to have sex with her. Holden lends Stradlater the jacket he'd asked for. We see that Stradlater is more popular than Holden and knows how to manipulate people into doing what he wants. However, Holden recognizes a lot of this and is more immune, being his roommate. Holden is nervous about a nice girl like Jane going out with a conceited jerk like Stradlater, worried that she might go too far with him. Holden tends to divide people into two groups, the pure and the impure, and he doesn't like the idea of Jane, pure, associating with Stradlater, impure. Jane has only signed out of her dorm until 9:30 p.m., so it's possible Stradlater may not get very far with her. Once Stradlater has left, Holden worries to himself for half an hour until Ackley shows up again. Holden is almost glad to have him around to get his mind off Stradlater and Jane. Chapter 5. Holden eats a lackluster meal in the cafeteria and then goes outside to throw snowballs with a few other boys. He decides with his friend Mal Broser to take a bus to downtown Eggerston to see a movie, and Holden wants to ask Ackley to come along. Brossard and Ackley don't really like each other, but they both agree to go along. Holden tries to take a snowball onto the bus, but the driver won't let him. Holden's friends have both seen the movie at the theater, so they just eat and fool around before heading back to Pensy. They kill more time there doing nothing until Holden is alone and writes Stradlater's English homework. The homework is to write a descriptive passage, so Holden writes about a baseball mitt that belonged to his dead brother, Allie. This passage really allows us to know a little more about Holden and can be seen as a clever exposition, the author's way of informing the reader about the past. We learn that Allie was 2 years younger than Holden, and he died when he was only 11. Holden was 13 at the time. When Allie died of leukemia, Holden broke all the windows in the garage with his fist. We can see that when Holden cares about people, when he admits them past his many defenses, he keeps them very close to his heart. Chapter 6. When Holden's roommate Stradlater arrives home from his date, Holden is naturally curious to find out what happened between him and Jane. Stradlater looks at the composition Holden wrote, sees that it's about a baseball glove, and gets angry. He wants a description of a room or a house, something like that, not a glove. Annoyed with Stradlater, Holden rips up the composition, which angers Stradlater even more. They talk about Stradlater's date. Stradlater borrowed the basketball coach's car because he's an important member of the team, and Holden wants to know what happened in the car. He's afraid Stradlater may have had sex with Jane. As they talk, Stradlater lightly punches or shadow boxes Holden's shoulder. Along with the Jane Gallagher situation, it frustrates Holden, and he tries to punch Stradlater, hardly even hitting him. Stradlater fights back and subdues Holden, who repeatedly calls Stradlater a moron and loses his cool. Stradlater finally lets him up and tells him to shut up, but Holden berates him again, and Stradlater punches him and bloodies his face. He then stops and tells Holden to get his face cleaned up. After all that, Holden continues to insult Stradlater. When Holden sees himself in the mirror, he looks horrible. He's fascinated by the damage done to his face. Curious if Ackley had heard all the noise from the fight, Holden peeks his head into his neighbor's room. He says he does so to see what Ackley is doing, and that he doesn't usually go in that room. But it seems more likely that he wants to be away from Stradlater and get some sympathy from Ackley, who also dislikes Stradlater. Chapter 7. Holden goes into Ackley's room and starts asking him questions. Ackley is annoyed and just wants to sleep. He is Catholic and has mass in the morning. Holden tells Ackley about the fight with Stradlater and wants to sleep in the empty bed in Ackley's room. It belongs to Ellie, Ackley's roommate, who is gone for the weekend. But Ackley doesn't want to let Holden sleep in his roommate's bed. He doesn't want Ellie to come in and find Holden there. But Holden lies down anyway, and Ackley soon falls asleep. Holden can't, however, because he's still worried about Stradlater and Jane Gallagher. He knows Stradlater's technique with women, and thinks he's actually slept with girls, that he's not just talk. He hears Stradlater using the bathroom and wakes up Ackley, who is again annoyed. Holden asks him about joining a monastery. Ackley thinks Holden is mocking his religion, so Holden steps out into the hall. It's very quiet, and Holden is antsy. He decides that he won't wait till Wednesday to leave Pensy. He'll leave now, and stay in a cheap hotel in New York with the money his grandmother sent him. He wakes a boy down the hall who had borrowed his typewriter and sells it to him. Then he packs and feels depressed when he sees the ice skates his mother sent him. As he leaves, he shouts, "Sleep tight, you morons!" We see further evidence in this chapter that Holden is very impulsive, making snap decisions based on how he feels in the given moment. Chapter 8. Holden walks to the train station in the snow and is very cold. He can't take a taxi because it's so late. He gets to the station and a train quickly arrives. He usually likes riding trains, but not tonight. The whole situation has made him uneasy. When the train stops in Trenton, New Jersey, a woman in her 40s gets on and sits right next to Holden, even though the train is empty. She's carrying a large bag and wants to sit near the front. Holden finds her attractive, despite the age difference, and strikes up a conversation with her. It turns out her son goes to Pensy as well. Holden knows him. His name is Ernest Morrow, and he doesn't like him. Holden begins to tell all kinds of lies. He lies about how all the boys admire Ernest at school. He lies about his name. He starts to feel a little bad about the lies because the woman is so nice, but he finds he can't stop. He even lies about the reason he's leaving. He says he is going to have an operation to remove a brain tumor. He smokes and gives her a cigarette as well, then invites her to join him for a drink in the club car. She declines and gets off at Newark, New Jersey, and invites Holden to visit them in Massachusetts. But Holden dislikes her son and thinks, "But I wouldn't visit that son of a bitch Morrow for all the dough and the dough in the world, even if I was desperate." The persona that Holden put on in this chapter is just one of the many faces he'll wear as he interacts with people in the book. Where is the real Holden under these masks? We'll have to wait quite a while before we see that. Chapter 9. Holden arrives at Penn Station in New York and wants to call someone. He considers calling his younger sister Phoebe, but knows she's already asleep. He thinks about Jane Gallagher and another girl he knows named Sally Hayes, but doesn't call either. Finally, he just gets a taxi. He gives the driver his home address till he remembers his plan to stay at a cheap hotel. He asks the driver to turn around, and then mentions something he's been wondering about since he went to see his teacher, Mr. Spencer. He wants to know what happens to the ducks on the pond in Central Park when the water freezes over in the winter. Where do they go? He asks the driver, and the man looks at Holden like he's crazy. Holden gets to the Edmont Hotel and checks in. It's a cheap hotel and a cheap room. Holden looks out the window and sees perverts, as he puts it, in neighboring rooms. One man is putting on women's clothing. He also sees a couple squirting liquid back and forth from each other's mouths. Holden is both fascinated and disgusted. He still feels anxious and wants to do something, call somebody. He says that he's horny. Then he remembers a phone number a guy gave him for a girl in New York named Faith Cavendish, who has a reputation for being loose. Holden phones her. She's initially annoyed that he's calling so early, but she warms up to him when it sounds like he might have money. He wants to meet her right away, but she wants to wait till the next day. They reach an impasse, and Holden regrets telling her that he can only meet her now. Chapter 10. Holden still can't sleep. It's very early in the morning, and he still wants to talk to people. He thinks about his sister Phoebe again, and it's clear she's one of the closest